The Oddcast.
Two guys yelling at each other about radio, music, and nonsense. And now, here's Max Tolkoff and Halloran.
Welcome, everyone.
Listen to that.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Shut up for a minute. Just stop. Okay, this will be in the outtake reel. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the ASMR Hour with Max and Michael, where we talk about, for an hour, all the little noises that annoy you and maybe will be enjoyable to you. Michael, let's start with you. Let's hear a bit of your
I'll tell you what, you know what annoys me more than anything is the fact that you're trying to put on this air of weirdness, like you're now trying to get into this voice of reason. Paper Chase. What was that show with the guy who's like, what was that called?
Let's start again.
It's already started. We're not going backwards. There's no, you told me one take and we're going forward. So you can't
When we get to it, but you've already interrupted me. So I can't, you gotta play along here.
Okay. We're going to talk about the noises that annoy you. The noise that annoys me is what you're attempting to do.
Perfect.
With his voice.
Welcome to the ASMR Hour. With Max and Mike. Mike, let's hear a bit of your beard.
Yes.
Yes, rub your beard on the microphone.
That's it right now.
No, let's hear it. Okay.
I just did it.
Right, no, we'll do it again.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it is. Okay, that was Mike's beard. Here's my beard.
Right now,
can you hear
Lenny
that?
Diana is shitting bricks, thinking to himself, that's what I'm going to, I can feel
F
it.
Lenny Diana. He's not even in radio,
I think right now,
really.
He's decided that he's not even in radio. Friday beard sessions. Guess whose beard this is.
All right, look.
Nope, that's not. That's AFI's singers, Davey Havoc's beard.
That would be a great contest. Identify the beard. No, seriously.
In more ways than one.
Because this whole ASMR thing is all about, you know, these crazy noises. I think a great contest would be that. But this week, we don't have to talk about that. I'm just setting it up for maybe next week, the week after, when we talk about image production and how bad it has become for the format. Now, this week, you want to talk about crazy, wacky music. Let's talk about what we were going to talk about, which is where's all the protest songs?
Yeah, this is something that you and I had a chat about because both of us at one point of our lives programmed a station that had not shied away from anything that was protesty, even though John Lynch, the guy that owned the radio station, would come in once a year and basically tell everybody to vote for Republicans. We played tons of songs by tons of artists, The Clash.
That's not the point. The point is, where's the protest music that we knew it from? All right, first of all, folk, sort of protest music, mid to late 60s, okay, that was the protest. That was 2 years into the Nixon administration. Everybody was going batshit because everybody was angry. So we had, and perhaps it could be said that maybe rock itself is a protest genre. It's a protest format, okay?
Good rock is, yes.
So we had, though, what is generally regarded as protest music because of Republicans, late 60s. Nixon resigned in 74. A lot of music between them. So what was the protest music of the 70s?
Okay. I need to back your ass up a little bit there.
Okay, wait. Before you back it up,
It was folk music.
No, it was punk. Punk was the protest music of the 70s.
But the folk music, basically music, I'm not talking about with acoustic instruments. I'm talking about the folk music of its day.
Which was
the early Billy Braggs of the world, which was still with an electric guitar, but it was still folk-y.
Well, that's just the sound. I'm talking about the angry stuff, corporate man.
You know, late 60s with the MC5 and the Stooges and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then that begat the whole punk thing. But you're right. Punk music in the 70s was the protest stuff. But you got to go back to Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Hang on. What was the protest music in the 80s?
I'm just, you're already jumping into the 80s.
I'm just asking
I need to drag you back.
I'm asking
Strange
you.
Fruit was one of the greatest protest songs of all time. You're jumping into the 80s.
You're going into individual
songs. I did
songs.
My research. I did my research. You didn't. So I'm telling you right
what
now.
What research? Research for what? I'm merely asking.
Protest songs. How they've been part of the American vernacular forever. John Brown's Body Lies A-Moldering in Its Grave.
Absolutely.
Is a protest song. And it kept going all the way to Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
in the, into
that's what
the
I'm
60s
Thank
with
you.
Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yes.
I was watching something earlier today. They released that song, even though Teach Your Children Well was already out. They released that song knowing full well it was going to knock it out of the charts. They fucked
what
themselves,
were,
told
what
off.
Were, but what were they part of? They were part of a whole scene. That's my point. You can talk about individual bands, and we should.
It was the rock and roll scene. I mean, this is where you and I have this discussion earlier. The rock and roll music that we all know and love was basically protesting everything from the Vietnam War to social injustices to corporations taking over whatever it is to the Dolphins to the – I mean, there's so many songs about this stuff that has been Phil Oaks.
I understand.
All of these things.
Take a step back. Go to 30,000 feet. And look down.
I can't. I've run out of oxygen and my brain is gone because
I'm 30, making a point. If you would shut up for 2 seconds.
Make your point. I'll
my point is this. Every decade had its own protest music. So 70s, the protest music of the 60s begat the punk of the 70s. The 80s, we still had punk. The 90s, somebody told me, we didn't have anything because nobody was unhappy then. Now, the aughts come along. We've got 9/11. And now we've got this asshole in the White House. No, you can't.
Okay.
Let me finish the point. Because
I got to take notes because I got to go back to the 90s and explain the protest music of the 90s to you. It's like you completely forgot about Public
Hang
Enemy.
Hang on. No. We can talk about the 90s. Again, you can point out individual
Everybody
songs.
Everybody was happy in the 90s. There's no protest music. We love each other and nobody's getting fucked over by corporations.
So how do you explain grunge? Explain to me grunge. Explain to me Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Jeremy,
in 1993...
91 for Jeremy when
was
it came
that
out,
the protest music of the 90s?
It was bringing up things that were of social value about the mistreatment of kids and the kid who pulled a gun out in school, talking about gun control issues or the fact that crazy people can get guns. Yeah,
so
there were protest songs in the 90s.
Was grunge our protest music of the 90s?
No. Grunge was a sound just like folk music was a style of acoustic. Acoustic music was style. Folk music has always been music of the people. X plays folk music. X writes protest songs. Sometimes they write them like the Knitters write them. You know, don't forget the Motor City. That whole thing that X did. I mean, one of your good buddies, John Doe.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, kind of took his name, I believe, from a protest song, didn't
here's
he?
Here's the thing. If you... listen to X, especially in the later years, and especially the album Unclogged, which is all basically kind of an acoustic version of all their songs.
Right.
They sort of stripped it down. When you listen to those songs that were considered raging punk songs, right, it is American folk music. That's pretty much the music of America.
I think that's what I said at the beginning, and you said...
No, I didn't. No. Okay. I'm making... Right. Here's my point, which I can finally get to, maybe. It's 2019. This asshole.
It is already.
This asshole's been in office for 2 years. Where's the angry music of this generation?
It's there, but it's not being played on the radio. That's my point. There are bands.
And that's
out
what
there.
I want you to tell me about. What's the music? Where is it? Who is it?
Well, here's the point when we talked about this, why this should be a subject. There was a time when this music that was protesty, when you and I were programming radio stations, that we could get away with it. Because the owner be damned. John Lynch did not know what Dear God was about. He didn't understand anything about the protest music that we were playing. He didn't understand that Soft Cell and some of these bands that we're talking about, open-minded culture, whether it was a gay artist, a straight artist, a lesbian artist, a female, or whatever it was. Nobody understood that stuff back then, and John Lynch didn't get involved, right?
Right.
Then the Dixie Chicks made it impossible because they stood up as country artists and basically made it really impossible for these stations to ignore this stuff because they were all behind the other Republican, the guy prior to, what was his name? The guy prior to First Bush. What was his name?
George.
George Jr.
George H.W.
George H.W. So that was when the first kind of like, ooh, this is kind of weird, but it kept going. We kept playing it.
No, what that demonstrated was intolerance to protest music. Like suddenly the country went apeshit.
After 9/11.
Because the Dixie Chicks are like, you know, in other words.
That was Bush too, though.
People got pissed off that people want to give them a hard time for speaking their minds, and they weren't allowed to do it, basically.
I disagree. I think that it was the corporate owners of the radio stations that said, we're not going to have musicians tell us how to think and vote politically.
Yes.
And they were basically saying, shut the fuck up and sing songs.
Right.
Dance, bitch, as opposed to...
Dance, you little monkeys.
Yeah, dance, you little monkeys, as opposed to, oh my God, I didn't realize that Ohio, one of their favorite songs that they can all sing along with, was basically released and on radio within 7 days. I think that was the story. Basically, they saw the Kent State shootings. They went to the studio, recorded the song. Obviously, Neil Young wrote it, recorded it, got it out to radio, and it rocketed up the charts, knocked, you know, Teach Your Children Well off. So they basically killed their own single with their protest song, and still to this day, one of the greatest songs on the planet.
You know, I...
And it changed when the corporate radio stations became the norm, and they started dictating playlists and took things off the air. That's my issue. And where were you at, where were you for 9/11? What station were you at 9/11?
I was not.
Do you remember it at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I remember 9/11?
Do you remember where you were? Where were you when it happened?
I was in bed. I was waking up because it was early in LA, and it was still it was like.
Were you programming at that point?
No.
You weren't?
Nope. I was doing record promotion.
I don't know if I just. You were at R&R. Okay, you were at R&R at the time.
No, I wasn't. I was an independent promoter.
Oh, you're an independent promoter.
And I actually got on the road on 9/12, like an idiot, because I needed to go play some music for, I think it was Mike Stern in Vegas. I had to go see The Edge and what was it now? Extreme in Vegas.
Right.
I had to go. There were no flights. So I got in the car, and I drove to Vegas on 9/12. And I read
what record were you working
on? I don't remember.
On?
It was a whole bunch of stuff. I just had to go see. And they looked at me like, what are you doing here? It's the day after 9/11. We're not really doing any
John
normal business.
John and such or such are in the seats. What's that expression?
I forget. That's a super inside joke. We're not going
to. What I'm saying is it's because sometimes you are not exactly in tune with the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah,
it's like,
clearly.
Hey, 9/11 just happened. I'm going to fucking jump in the car. I'm going to drive to Vegas because I know that
records.
Mike Stern.
I
got to
go promote records.
Is going to be sitting there waiting for me to show up. And I'm going to drive all the way across the desert in September, hotter than fuck.
At night.
At
night. Art Bell was on the air in the middle of the night describing how the smoke from one of the towers looks like the devil. And it caused his website to crash immediately.
Because posted
everybody,
a picture.
Yeah, he was like, everybody's trying to sign on to see this picture of the devil in the smoke from one of the towers.
Right. And shortly thereafter, the corporate radio stations started saying, okay, let the bodies hit the floor. No more. Can't play that anymore. I ended up taking Afro Man because I got high off because made no sense at that
point. All of this speaks to how badly the format has been trashed over the years and how badly radio's been trashed.
Right.
I mean, here's why we're doing this. I'm a radio genius, and you're a musical and promotion genius. The two of us can't really live without the other. It's really come to that. So in terms of radio station, I'll be the PD, and you be the MD, and the promotion guy, and the production guy. You be everything else. Because you're the
And you're going to be the gatekeeper.
I'll be the gatekeeper. Because, look, here's what I told people for years. This is why I wanted to do this with you. You have 1,000 great ideas a day, 999 of which are bad, but there's always one great idea.
Wait, you just said I have 1,000 great ideas a day, but 900 are bad. How can I have a great bad idea?
Because it's
so,
execution.
You're so full of shit. You
That's true, talk too.
Off are so full of, let me ask you a question.
What?
If you look back upon your favorite promotion that you did when you were at 90, I'm not talking about FNX or these other stations. What was your favorite promotion you did at 91X?
Oh,
what's the one that stands out?
Expose the X.
And where did that come from?
Fred Jacobs.
And where did that come from?
Detroit.
And where did that come from?
Chicago?
Nope. A station that I worked at.
Ah, okay.
Which was called Show Us Your DTX.
Right.
That it was a brand new radio station, and Fred brought it to you and said, hey, they did this in Detroit, and we did it. And how effective was it for you when you think about it as a promotion? Because
it was fabulous.
Because people jumped out of airplanes holding a flag.
Yeah. People went to the comedian, Joan Rivers. They went to the Joan Rivers show.
They went to Saturday Night Live.
But they also went to Joan Rivers and unfurled a giant 91X banner on stage.
Correct. Those are the things that made sense. Those were pretty amazing. Valerie Bertinelli, who whose husband was in at the time was the singer, the guitar player from Van Halen.
Right.
She's on there hosting Saturday Night Live, and somebody sent her a sticker, which she turned into some sort of a badge, and she put it on her thing, and she was pointing at it basically to say, look, I've done this thing to expose 91X on Saturday Night Live. That's the genius of our listeners at the time. And how much money did we give away? Do you remember? What was the prize?
I don't remember what the prize was. Do you?
I think it was like 10 grand.
Was it?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember.
And you know who won?
Who?
The girl who did the claymation commercial.
Oh, right. Yes.
That bought time on like Channel 6.
Yes. These people went out and bought their own time for a commercial.
Right. And how many people do you think saw the SNL thing versus saw the commercials at 3 o'clock in the morning on
I'm going to say the SNL thing probably
yes.
hit more people.
It hit way more people.
Yeah.
So why the fuck did the claymation person win?
We weren't on
because
the final.
Because Thomas K. Arnold and who's the other people that you had on the judging panel?
You mean Dwight Arnold?
No, Thomas K. Remember Thomas K., the guy who used to write for The Reader?
Oh, yeah.
Him, and you had all these people in there.
Yeah, we had like a couple of Chargers on the panel.
Yes, there was your second mistake.
Because John Lynch was a football
sports guys.
Yeah,
let's get some sports guys in here.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that claymation. That looks really cool.
No, we didn't get to weigh in on that, I don't think.
I know, but my point was is that you got panels of judges in that voted a girl. I'm sure she did a phenomenal job. It was before anybody knew about claymation, but it's like a 15-second commercial of Clay making the 91X logo, and she ran it on the air.
Right.
Great. Wonderful. It was part of the exposure, if you will.
Yeah.
The Expose the X thing.
Right.
But what was the one that probably had the most impact? The Valerie Bertinelli one. Because you can still see it on YouTube, by the way.
Listen, if I had to say what my favorite promotion is of all time.
Right.
Was giving away the six-pack of Yugos.
See, I was waiting for you to say that.
I know you want me
because
to say it.
I
didn't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Because it was so bad.
It was so bad,
horrible.
It was good.
No, it wasn't good.
It was so bad because it was so much more 91X than the Expose the X
You know what would have been funny, though?
Could it happen today
and somebody had taken, like, video of the whole experience?
It would be a movie.
That would be a movie. It would be hilarious.
Let me explain something to you, Tolkov. This is the thing that I want you to understand because I love you. The Expose the X thing was interesting. It was cool.
I knew I was going to regret
the thing that you came up with. Who came up with the idea about the six-pack of Yugos?
I did.
Okay. Because why? Because
it was fucking stupid.
And because they were so dead cheap that you could basically win a six-pack of Yugos as opposed to one car. We're going to give you six fucking cars.
Yes, because it was also
and everything
the laughing stock of the automotive industry. A freaking Yugo from Yugoslavia, which fell apart the moment you opened the door.
The Yugo was from Yugoslavia?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Crazy.
I thought it was from yogurt. They made it out of yogurt. So my point is that was so much more 91X.
That's Froyoslavia. That was from Froyoslavia. All right, so anyway.
Here's my point. To explain to somebody who's casually listening in, like Lenny Diana, that goes, what was the six-pack of Yugos? You, Tolkoff, had this brilliant idea because Yugos were how much? Like $2,500?
Yeah, $2,500 or three tops.
Maybe $3,000. You could buy a brand new car made in Yugoslavia, and they started selling them wherever. Right? $3,000. That's virtually nothing for a car, and this is 87?
Seven.
87.
Yeah.
So we gave away a six-pack to one person.
Right.
And, of course, we knew what was going to happen. They were going to sell all of them except for one and then have to pay these extraordinary taxes on this whole thing. But that wasn't the point. The point was is that the imagery of how we put it together on the air with people like Tom Perry talking about what would happen if you had a six-pack of cars. And one of them was he calls his mom and he goes, Mom, I've left the blue one at Marshall Scotty's. Can you bring the yellow one over? And it was like this obnoxious kid that had six cars and was telling his mother where to go pick him up.
Was that in a promo? Did we do a promo?
It was in a promo.
Here's the weird thing. I don't remember any of that shit.
I remember it because
I was
running them on the air all the time.
Yeah, really?
And that being said, it was classically funny. It was classic 90s because it was anti what everybody else. Everybody else was like, new Corvette, KGB.
The new 2012 Corvette can be yours. Doing our thing was in keeping with the
Island dressing.
Yeah, the sense of what we were doing as an alternative station.
KGB gave away. They did $1,000 Thursdays.
Yep.
Where they gave away $1,000 to one person.
Yeah.
You or some cockamamie person at 91X says, "Oh, we're going to do Thousand Island Thursdays." Right?
No, I don't remember Thousand Island Thursdays. We didn't do that.
Okay, it was probably right after you. It was probably right after you.
I know that we, at one point,
we gave away Thousand Island dressing.
We had money giveaways shoved down our throat as if that was going to be the be all and end all. Let's give away money because that's how you buy listeners.
Well, that's
true.
And
people still do that today.
But it's true. That's how you do buy listeners, right. Which is the horrible thing. Because as soon as you don't buy them
anymore,
they leave.
Though, was we put the Yugos as a six-pack in the Thanksgiving parade in San Diego.
Yes.
And most of them broke down. And
all of them overheated.
Yeah.
Not most of them.
Pushed off the
right
street.
Downtown San Diego someplace. We have six DJs and promotions now, people driving six cars.
It was a wacky thing to do. We got no ratings benefit out of it. And it was, everybody hated it apparently, and I quit after that.
No, I think you.
Maybe a year after that.
Yeah, that was, you didn't quit because of that. You quit because of whatever. Because you were done, you were bored. There you go. Thank you for doing that because I've noticed you're off direction there. Okay, talk.
It doesn't matter from off direction this way or just, this way. Does it really matter?
That's why I'm saying put your headphones back on.
I don't want to. It's uncomfortable.
Well, that's because you can't hear yourself.
We don't need them anymore. It's not radio anymore. You know, we're narrowcasting. A podcast is a narrowcast.
You sound thin. Can you give him some, can you take some, like, EQ him a little bit?
Why shouldn't I sound thin? Do you want me to sound more
No,
like
I don't
that?
Want, no, I want.
Should I put on a radio voice?
No, you're sounding too off mic. And we're back. Okay. So we had a whole discussion there about Max being off the microphone and talking like a fucking idiot.
All right. Now that I'm on the mic, does it sound better?
No. Get on the fucking mic.
Now that I'm on the mic?
Get close. Oh, pretend it's a weenie.
I knew this was a bad idea.
Okay.
I knew
so let's talk about
idea.
Let's talk about the Yugos. It was a great idea.
Not,
the execution was phenomenal.
That's the past.
You know how many people saw us break down in the Thanksgiving parade?
How many?
20. Maybe 30 people. You know, people saw. You know how many people saw the commercial on the animated commercial, the whatever it was on Channel 6? About 20. So it was just as effective. All I'm saying is that 91X back in the day did some of the most amazing promotions because we just could.
Yeah, because nobody was telling us not to. John Lynch was not saying, "Don't do this, don't do that."
Okay, now he sounds fucking totally weird.
Now
what happened?
Very odd.
Is it because my mic is too loud? Is my mic way louder than his? Do you have to bring his up a little bit?
Let's go back to the ASMR.
Okay,
hour.
I want to ask
Let's
you something.
Let's go to the ASMR
Do you
hour.
Remember giving away the tickets to go see INXS in Japan?
No. I think that was after I left.
Okay.
I do remember seeing INXS at the Spirit Club.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
That
you weren't here yet.
That was before I got there.
Yeah.
Sal
Paradise drags me out. He goes, "You got to see this band at the Spirit Club." And he was doing a specialty show.
For the average Joe, for Lenny Diane at the Spirit Club, tiny, tiny, tiny club run by this guy called Jerry Herrera.
It's great because, you know, we realize that we're just talking to Lenny and Lenny Diane.
That's the only person.
He's the only person that we're talking
to. He's the only person
going
to listen to this. That being said, to jump back to what
Do you even know where he's working?
I don't know. I don't care.
Northampton, Massachusetts.
Okay. Lenny Diane. It's good that you're listening to this podcast because you're the only person we care about.
We have to wrap up soon.
We did. No, I'm just telling you, we're not going to wrap up anything until
we're
fucking done.
I'm done.
I have to tell you something.
I am done.
You missed the point where we went out and we were giving away tickets to go see INXS in Japan. It was a flyaway to Japan, one of those big flyaway things we used to do. And whoever it was that was in charge, either Trip or whatever, is put me in charge of putting together some promo for it. So in the promo, I hired a Japanese exchange student to come in. To basically, I told him, this is what I want you to say. So I opened the line with, 91X is giving you the chance to go to Japan to see INXS. And he would say, in Japanese, 91X is going to Japan and they want you to see INXS there. And then I would say, we're looking forward to invading Japan and going having all this great time. And he would go like, oh, fuck, no. Seriously? More Americans coming? This is going to suck.
In Japanese.
In Japanese. And so every time I would say something, he would basically counter with like, fuck, these Americans are going to come with these fucking cameras around their necks and be complete assholes and clog the
streets. And the only way you knew about it is if you spoke
Japanese.
Right.
And the whole point was, we did this and nobody knew what he was saying until one day the phone call comes in and goes, do you know what that guy's saying? And I go, yeah, I know exactly what he's saying. What's he saying? And I go, he's basically berating me. And he goes, how did you know that? I said, because I wrote it for him. I wrote the copy for him because I realized it'd be one person out there that would laugh their heads off when they realized that we're being completely condescending to the concept of 91X sending somebody to Tokyo to see INXS because obviously they were huge in that part of the world.
See.
But that being said, those are the kind of creative things that Lenny Diana needs to know about. So I'm tipping him off.
No, absolutely. Because, see, this is what I'm talking about. You're the guy that thinks of wacky, stupid things like this. And they're good.
Thanks.
But so tell me, who's doing that today? Tell me a station that is doing wacky shit like that now.
I should say I do not know of a station right now that's doing anything along those lines.
I haven't heard of any strange, crazy story about a promotion coming out of this format in a long time.
You're disappearing again off the mic. I don't know what it is.
Look, I'm licking this freaking thing.
No, I know.
Lips are right here. How's that better?
Okay.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what it is. Is there a compressor on it? There's no compressor on it. I don't know what it is. We're going to swap out mics in a second for you.
No, we're not. I'm not going with your disease. Your disease on it.
No, they're swapping out a mic because it might be that mic. It might be something in your...
We're not going in your back gullet start from scratch.
No, we're not. We're just going to go like this. It's going to be 3 and a 2 and a 1, and it's going to go bam and a bam, and look at that. It's going to plug in immediately. And the next thing you know, it's going to be you're going to talk, and it's going to be...
Is this better?
A little bit more high end on him. A little bit more. A little bit better. Yeah.
Is it?
I think it's 10 times.
It might have been
better.
The microphone.
It was probably microphone.
Probably the microphone. All right.
It was the microphone reacting to your.
Let's start from scratch. Welcome to the ASMR Hour with Mike and Max. Mike, let's hear a bit of your beer.
What's this Mike and Max shit? I thought it was Tolkoff and Halloran because it's alphabetical.
We haven't even gotten around yet to telling people what we think the title might be to this thing.
I know what the title is.
Yeah, don't say anything yet. Let's just stay on that for a week.
I'm thinking he should be plugged into a different channel. That's what I'm thinking it is.
Could I do this from a different room? I would like a different station. I would like a different studio. One where I don't have to look at you.
It was switched around? What? Here, I'm going to just give you my microphone. Here. Watch this. Let's see what happens.
Okay, I'll talk right on the microphone. Let's see if you talk right on the microphone. Can you hear me now? Okay, we've got to turn him back up.
Do I sound better?
Okay.
Is it better? I feel that I have too much bass in my voice.
Can you take it down a little bit? Oh, wow, I sound like Halloran now. It's fantastic.
Right. I just need a little bit more gain on mine.
Seriously, did that make a difference? Switching the mics. Why should these be duplicate mics?
That's what you'd think, but unfortunately they're made by different people.
Criminy.
That one was made by Kevin. Lot 23, and this one was made by Joey.
Look,
lot
we gotta
49.
Go. This has been enough.
No, for the it's, first not, it's not one.
It's enough. Nobody wants to hear us for an hour. Not yet.
We're not talking for an hour. We haven't even talked for fucking 20 minutes yet.
I already have a headache. I have a headache talking to you.
And this section of the broadcast is being brought to you by Excedrin for Max Tolkoff size headaches. When you get upset, Excedrin. Maxedrin.
Are we gonna be able to actually interview people and, have them phone in or stuff like that?
I think we should just bring them in.
Bring them in.
And
that's
now
good.
I'm over modulating.
Yeah, what happened? Now he's all.
I think you need to clean your. I think you need to clean your potentiometers in there.
I have a deeper voice than you. Why is it?
Can we go back to protest songs to wrap this fucking show up?
Yes. Okay. So the protest music, not songs. Protest music, like Buffalo Springfield, right? Stop! Hey, what's that sound? That was a major.
You just
cost
us 25 cents in royalties with that little clip.
Great. So where is that attitude today?
It's there, and you know who's doing it?
Who?
Hip hop.
Okay.
Because I did my research on it.
Okay.
Kendrick Lamar. These people out there that are no longer these white bread Imagine Dragons assholes. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
I don't understand. For the life of me, I do not understand why we're having. Non-alternative music being played on alternative stations across the country.
That's
going to be in the next
right?
show. Yeah, I love Dan Reynolds. I love the guy from Imagine Dragons. I love what he's doing. I just don't think that any self-respecting alternative programmer would have ever played anything other than the Ramones, the Clash, the Pistols, the Violent Femmes, and all the stuff that made alternative radio what it is. Right?
I don't know. Think of all the other stuff that we played that was kind of weenie and sort of,
That basically...
But we're still big.
Okay.
The Cure, Depeche Mode.
Let me qualify this. Because,
they weren't angry.
Because this will be the next...
Robert Smith was angry.
This will be the test of can we make another show happen out of this subject alone. We played bands, The Cure, Depeche Mode, the B-52s, that became top 40 bands in San Diego. And went on to get top 40 airplay elsewhere in the country, especially the B-52s. Love Shack was
massive hit.
So if you look at those things, But did the 52 suddenly became a top 40 band for everything they released afterwards?
No, and that's the interesting discussion.
That's my point.
Which bands sort of cross? Good case in point. Goo Goo Dolls came from the format, became so huge.
Came from metal. They were like a metal band that then they were signed to Metal Blade, and they were supposed to sound like the Replacements on acid. That's what their whole deal was.
Not really. They started alternative, but then they went to pop, and they could never come back after that. They tried.
Correct. But for a long time, we could play them without any fear of them disappearing off to the pop.
Tell me
world.
If this is maybe one reason why. It's a theory I have. It could be screwed because I know nothing about music, as you know. If a band that's been around for a while, has a career, has a number of, you know, has a body of work, they can spit out a top 40 hit and not lose their credibility.
Correct.
But if a band is relatively young, comes along, has a hit that goes, or maybe starts with alternative, but then zooms right to top 40, we never see them again. They're gone.
We should never see them again. Here's my point.
That's an interesting point.
There are bands that when they come out that I can smell the rat immediately, and I know that they're going to try to push it to top 40 because this is what they make more money. These shitty record labels make more money if that record goes top 40, but they launch it on alternative because they think alternative will start playing it because – oh, they're a little bit edgy. A little bit edgy. And so people go like, oh, yeah, this is alternative. It's not fucking alternative. It never was. The next program that we're going to do, we're going to delve into, and you can send your questions, by the way.
To who? Nobody's going to answer them.
I'll answer them.
I'm not going to answer
Hit me up on the fucking Facebook.
You're not going to answer them
fan page on the Facebook that you can hit me up on.
Wait, you have fans?
No, I don't. That's why I'm trying to get some right now.
Oh, all right.
I'm trying to get some right now. But you can find me on Facebook. I have what's called a fan page. You can go there and post all the questions like, what are the shitty bands that Halloran hates? That suddenly, you got to remember, I'm the guy that played Right Said Fred before anybody did. I played a lot of that
shit.
Hang
on. You worked on the record side for a few minutes too. So
I did.
Okay, so we both did.
I was in bands.
All right, so I worked for the major label. I won't say which one.
A&M, I'll say.
Okay, very good. Thanks. So here's what happens inside a label. They sign a band, and they don't know where it should go. So
not to interrupt you, how do you fucking not know where a band goes?
Good question. I would love to know the answer to that, too. So they send it to a particular format, not based on, it's because they don't know where to start it. So they pick a format that they think it might be okay to start it there, but their intention all along is to take it to another format. Like, let's grow it at Alternative, or let's grow it at Hot AC, or grow it at AAA, and then we can cross it over. That's what happens. And so this is the thing that you were complaining about a long time, was that the format became a dumping ground of songs for songs that didn't belong anywhere else. They couldn't figure out where they should go, and so they pushed them at us. And that resulted in we heard a lot of songs like, why are you making us play this? Right?
Made me play anything.
No,
I'm the guy that fucking resisted it all. But let me tell you something. To your point, I think that it was much better on our side when we took artists that we knew were alternative and we took them and we played them enough so the song became so popular that we forced Top 40 to get off of Salt and Peppa and start playing Jesus Jones. Case in point, that's what happened. So Right Here, Right Now became an anthem for all these fuckers. Mm-hmm. My point is if we take a band like Love and Rockets, so alive. I mean, let me break this down for you. Here's three members of Bauhaus in 1988. I'm driving back. I was working at K-Rock at the time, and I'm driving back, and my Jeep radio, I couldn't tell what station I was listening to in San Diego because the presets, so I would basically hit like fast forward, and it would stop on a station, and I'm listening to So Alive by Love and Rockets, and I'm going, fuck, it's 91X, thank God. And I'm driving along, and I'm like near Capistrano or something, and all of a sudden I realize it's fucking Q106 playing this record. Because at the time, I think Weatherly and what's his name were in there. No, Weatherly it was just about to come in there. Tracy Johnson was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I heard, the music meeting was as simple as this. Michelle, who was working there as the MD, was talking to either Weatherly or Tracy and said, where's the B-52's record? She goes, oh, that's alternative. That's 91X. And he, Tracy or Kevin Weatherly, looked at her and said, two sold out shows at the sports arena is not alternative. That's fucking top 40. Go get me the record. So they started playing Love Shack. They started playing these bands. They played The Cure. They played the B-52s. They played Depeche Mode.
Right.
They played Love and Rockets because 91 Rex had forced them into doing it in San Diego. That's the only way it should work, because The Cure cannot be co-opted by top 40 stations. Friday, I'm in Love. No, they can't.
No, they could, but they didn't have anything that record label said, this is a cross-format smash, like So Alive was. So Alive crossed over. I mean, it's a really accessible pop song.
But So Alive, in essence, was, without a doubt, three fucking members of Bauhaus, the most underground, fucked up goth band of the century, that had a top 40 fucking hit because it was such a groovy little fucking number.
Right.
Their first single, which I suppose you remember. Do you remember the first single?
No.
They covered a Motown song.
What was it?
Ball of Confusion.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
Yes.
It's like, there you go, fucking back to your protest songs. We're going to wrap it up now with the fact that Love and Rockets themselves covered one of the best protest songs of all time.
All right.
What do you want to talk about next week, fucker?
I don't know, but I've had enough for now. I seriously have a headache. You've given me a headache.
I am going to give you a headache every fucking week. That's my job, is to give you an ASMR headache. It's going to sound like this.
Hang on. Wait, listen to this.
That's
No, you don't know. They don't know what that is out there. Hang on, listen.
That's your bottle of pee that you're shaking in front of the...
Yes, but it's a perfect ASMR thing. My point was this. An image production person someplace would understand the massive amount of attention this is getting. Millions of people.
You missed the Super Bowl, obviously.
No. I saw that freaking Michelob Ultra commercial, right, where they do an ASMR thing.
With Zoe Kravitz.
And I start screaming at people. Everybody I can think of going, see, you thought it
how
was
many
crazy
people were you,
a year
how
ago.
How many people are you screaming at? You and your wife in your condo.
The three dogs.
The three dogs.
Screaming at the three dogs.
The three dogs were all like this, the fucking little chihuahuas.
I lined them up and I said, you goddamn it, listen to this.
I was right. It was the first time ever in your life you've been right.
Can we say goodbye now? We'll see everybody next week.
What are we going to talk about next week?
Whatever you want.
ASMR? Or do you want to talk about...
No, not ASMR. Let's talk
shitty
about...
Shitty top 40 bands that should never be played on alternative radio.
We can continue that, but I'd like to talk about why image production is bad at the format. My ASMR thing was merely an example.
Five people. I'm going to tell you this right now. Five people.
No.
I can guarantee you.
No, we're aiming toward radio people. Don't you understand that?
Lenny Diana is the only person in radio that we care about. Who else do you care about? Who do you want to... Do you want?
Let me ask you this. If Lenny Diana calls you and says, here are the other people that I know listen to podcasts,
okay,
will that convince
Here's
you?
Here's the challenge, okay? Because we're going to put this up quickly.
Right.
We're going to put this up within 48 hours. I'm going to get no comment from Jermsy.
No.
I'm going to get no comment from Garrett Michaels. I'm going to get no comment from Kevin Weatherly. I'm going to get no comment from...
Well, these people hate us anyway.
Alex,
they all hate us. Alex Cosper likes us.
Alex, he won't comment on it.
Alex Cosper, by the way.
Alex Luke won't comment on it.
In case anybody doesn't understand who Alex Cosper is.
Sean Demery would be the only guy to do it, and he's no longer around, which is the fucking bummerest thing about
it. I can't talk about it, as you know.
I know you can't, but I'm just saying that he was the only... If I got a letter from him saying, Halloran, ASMR is the fucking world.
That would be okay if he said it.
If he said it.
But not if I say it.
I trust Sean, even though he's no longer with us.
Goodbye. We'll see you guys
next week. What do you mean goodbye? You can't just say goodbye. You have to do an outro theme. And here's the outro theme.
We're out.
Slam the door.